Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen.
So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
I've been talking this whole time, and my mic was on mute. Well, thank you, everyone, for continuing to support the show regardless. I was talking about people continuing to ask the questions. There's a live Q&A right now. I was talking about all the people who I was interviewing, who I have an awesome time, an awesome opportunity to have a great time and interviewing, and I'm really excited about it. Got an interview with Jesse Sorensen next week, and also got an interview that I will announce later in the show the following Tuesday as well. Former WWE, WCW, AWA, ECW star that I will announce later on in the show. So the Q&A, let's see what we got from the WeAreWrestling.net live stream. Q&A. Ask whatever you want to ask. We got some questions here on the WeAreWrestling.net live stream. Feel free to ask me whatever you want to ask me. And this is fun. It's the first time I've done this in 3 years. Let's see here. Here we go. Can Lana's Russian gimmick work as a face? Good question to start off the Q&A here. Let's see here. I think so, but I don't think that Lana should be a Russian gimmick at all. I think she'll be another Kofi Kingston with minus the Jamaican gimmick. She'll be just like that. I believe Lana would be that same person exactly. And I think that she'll drop she'll drop the accent. Her name is CJ Perry. So she might even be CJ, she might go from Lana to CJ. So any type of Russian gimmick is much better as a heel. I always call Rusev the next Nikita Koloff. So, I think that will work. I think it'll be exciting. I think it'll be fun to see Lana as a face. It's to the point, I think that she did very well as a heel with really pushing Rusev, and Rusev did it very well. But it's ran its course, and I think the whole anti-American gimmick with Rusev has ran its course. yes, it could have been a main event gimmick. Yes, it could have even won a world title, in my opinion, eventually. But, you know, I think John Cena, I think with John Cena kind of inserting himself in the Rusev gimmick and the Rusev feud, I think it really kind of, you know, hate to say the word buried, but similar to what it did to Bray Wyatt last year, you know, Cena's U.S. champion is good. It's helping. But I don't think that I don't think that Rusev is going anywhere. Giant Baba versus Kali, who has the best advantage in the cardio category. Can I say neither? Is that an option? Man, I tell you, both of them are very stiff in the ring. At least Baba is more popular from a legendary standpoint from all his work in Japan. But Giant Baba has never been a WWE World Heavyweight Champion, but Kali has. So how about that? Good question. Thoughts on Adam Cole, baby? It just says thoughts on Adam Cole, but you have to say baby after Adam Cole. Maybe we'll be on the Pancakes and Power Slam show soon. Maybe. We're working on that. He was injured, and so we couldn't have him at one point in time. We were going to have him. We could have had him, but he was injured, and so he wasn't doing any type of anything at that point in time. But man, I think Adam Cole is a amazing hand. I think Adam Cole is bound for NXT without question. Absolutely bound for NXT. I think that Adam Cole with I think he has the heel persona just down pat. I really do. I think he has the, you know, the thing is that the ROH music fits him so perfectly. Of course, he won't be able to carry that on to WWE and NXT, but I'm sure Jim Johnson and company will be able to put something together that fits Adam Cole. But Adam Cole is absolutely amazing. And I'm really looking forward to, I mean, he's bound to come to the WWE. I think that's without question. I'm looking forward to see where he will go. I think that Adam Cole has the ability to make a very, very quick statement in the NXT, similar to Kevin Steen. Just because Steen has so much of a following, he, you know, became NXT champion, you know, only a few months after his debut. And I think Cole has the ability to do that too. As far as him making it on the big stage, you know, Punk and Brian did it as far as being, you know, CM Punk alumnus and, you know, top guys of the company. But I don't know if, with Triple H having more of a say, I think that WWE bred machine guys don't have a total monopoly on being top guys. So Adam Cole may make a statement real quick. So it'll be pretty fun to see where Adam Cole goes. And so, yeah, that's awesome. All right, so next question is, let's see what we have here. We have some funny. Do you think Zayn's injury was legit? Yeah, I mean, I don't see why they would feign an injury with Zayn. I think that from the reports that I've put on and saw. I saw one report saying that it was on the stage when he was amping the people up. I think so too. I think that I think it was legit. I definitely think it was legit, and I think that the other report that's a little bit more popular is saying that as he was coming up the steps, he was, you know, getting real pumped in his Montreal crowd. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we talk about Raw. When he was coming up the steps, he was, you know, amping the crowd up again, and he kind of pulled something on his shoulder. You know, just freak injuries like that, man. It's just really sad. Let's see here. There's more Q&A. Let's see here. Should they vacate the IC title and let guys like Neville and Zayn feud over it? No, I don't think they should vacate the title. Well, I mean, they really don't have any choice to vacate the title if Brian's not able to go. I don't think Neville should get the title yet. I think the slow build feel would make this title on him more prestigious and make it have a better feel to him than just giving him the title. You know, Barrett, with the King Bear thing, at this point, I would put it on Orton, to be honest with you. I think if they're really going to spend time with really using the main eventers to push the titles, why not put the title on Orton? I think Orton would be the perfect person to put the title on. I think that Orton is just doing nothing but putting Rollins over and pushing Rollins at the time at this point. And you still have some authority stuff going on with Orton, and so, you know, hey, why don't you have Randy Orton versus Kane for the Intercontinental title in the coming weeks? The coming months. If you put the title on Orton and then have someone like an Orton versus a Neville, I think Orton versus Neville would be absolutely amazing. And I think that with Daniel Bryan gone, you can have some good feuds with Orton being champ. Orton's the only person I can think of right now that has that main event status like Daniel Bryan to elevate the championship that would work. And it won't be a step down from Orton. It wouldn't. And I think that, you know, Cena's kind of laying the precedence with elevating the championships and making it, you know, worth watching again. I think Orton is Intercontinental Champion will still make him relevant. It'll take him away from the title scene, which he doesn't need to be in right now anyways. Yeah, I know he's going to be in the Payback pay-per-view, but after Payback, you know, there's no purpose of keeping him in the title scene because he's not going to win it. Make him Intercontinental Champion, and there you go. I think that'll be perfect. And then eventually you'll have, you know, Zayn and a bunch of people eventually, but right now I think Orton should be the guy. Jeff Hardy overrated? Jeff Hardy overrated. I would say right now, no. No, sometimes I think there were point of times that I felt that Jeff Hardy was overrated, just because I really didn't understand just his cultish following. I think because of the whole kind of free spirit type of thing, I think that's why people liked him a lot. You know, he could put on some good matches, but he's a spot monkey. that's one good thing about him. But I think, you know, Jeff Hardy could put on some good matches, and, you know, he can break some ladders and some tables, you know, in a good match and cause the awe of the crowd. All right, a few more questions. Here's one question. Is there any wrestler that you used to think was good, but once WWE signed their talents, you changed your opinion on them? Change my opinion once WWE signed other talents that you used to think was good. Who did I used to think was good that I don't think is good anymore. I'm gonna be honest. Well, I think Daniel Bryan's an amazing talent, but probably because he's too injury prone. I'm not too big on Daniel Bryan as much as I used to be. This isn't necessarily answering the question completely, but I think this is probably the closest. It was a big, you know, Daniel Bryan advocate for a number of years now. I'm not so much now because he's so injury prone, and I really don't want it. It hurts me to see him step foot in the ring a lot of times, just because. It just kind of hurts me to see him in the ring sometimes, especially when he does the diving headbutts. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? Why do you still have the same moveset that caused you to get injured and be gone for the better part of a year? So, two more questions. Top five wrestlers right now. Absolutely amazing question. I tweeted this a few weeks ago. I'm going to see if I remember what I tweeted. Okay, so I would say my top five wrestlers right now, I would say five would be Big E. I would say four would be Big E now because four, let me see. I think that... Because one of them have went down because the way that they are treating him at NXT. I was a huge Baron Corbin fan, but it seems like we barely even see Baron Corbin anymore. I saw so much potential in that guy when they did the whole first it was 10 seconds and then went over to 22 seconds. It went up to 22. But I think he was up there. He was probably top three or four. I think just because I like Corbin, I think he has some potential. I would still say he's there. I would say Baron Corbin is number five. I would say number four is. I would put number four as probably Ziggler. I'd probably put Ziggler at four now. I would put I'll probably put Hideo Tommy at three. I would put here's my top five. Here's my top five right now. Five is Corbin. Four is Sami Zayn. Three is Ziggler. Two is Big E, and one is Finn Balor. I think that's my top five right now. Honorable mention goes to Hideo Tommy. I'm a big Hideo Tommy fan. I liked him when he was Kenta. The reason why he was out of my top five is because I didn't like the way that NXT was treating him. As much as he was such a huge name in Japan, and he kind of went to NXT, was humbled and just wasn't. I mean, he was winning matches, but he wasn't all that good as far as his Japan style was honed down and kind of monitored a lot. It seemed like, of course, he didn't use the GTS until. The WrestleMania weekend, but I think you know what I think a Tommy's in there. I'll say here's my top five. Five's Corbin, four is Zayn, three's a Tommy, two's Big E, and one's Finn Balor. That's my top five right now. I think that's a solid top five, and that's it. Two more questions. Let's see here. Is Reigns ready? I think ready for what? I guess the question. You know, I guess my question is ready for what? I think he's ready. I think that slow build. I've said this many times before. You know, I slow build, do it. And then that's my top five WWE. But as far as outside of WWE, I'm a big fan of Addiction, although they're, you know, members of the KRD, not a big fan of that. Big fan of Jay Lethal. I've always been a fan of Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal's always been my guy. As far as TNA is concerned, The Rising's okay. I don't really have. I mean, I've watched TNA since the beginning, for the very beginning when it used to come on every Wednesday. But I really don't have. I really don't have a top. I really don't have top wrestlers in TNA. I mean, of course, Angle. I like Angle. You know, he's the guy in TNA. Eric Young. Yeah. You know, he's good to go. I was a big EY fan when he made the heel turn. I left my interest, but you know, I'm a fan of Eric Young. I still like him. Big fan of the Wolves. I'm a huge fan of the Wolves. You know, Eddie Edwards is hurt, unfortunately, but I still like Davey Richards. I mean, you know, there's some people that I like from there, but I really don't mark anybody in TNA, unfortunately. As far as Always concerned, I like Hanson. You know, I've interviewed him on the show. Hanson's, I think he's the next, you know, world champion, you know, soon. Tommaso Ciampa, you know, had an awesome match with Jay Lethal this past weekend. You know, maybe we may see him coming to NXT soon. I like Donovan Dijak before he went to the House of Truth. I don't think Donovan Dijak in the House of Truth looks very weird. I just don't understand that at all. ACH, awesome hand. He's an amazing talent. Cedric Alexander is a great talent, but he still loses. I don't know why they're doing that. I don't know why they're making him lose. He'll have awesome matches, but he'll still come on losing in a lot of times. So, awesome talent in ROH. All righty, ladies and gentlemen. Last question. Two questions. Favorite match of all time and favorite wrestler of all time. My favorite match of all time is Sting versus Ric Flair, Great American Bash, 1990. My favorite wrestler of all time is Sting. So there you go. Awesome time. Let's do this more. This is really cool. We're gonna pick this back up. We got interviews the next couple weeks, so the end of the month we'll get back into the Q&A. This was lots of fun, and so continue the Q&A. You know, if I have time throughout the show, I'll answer them. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much, and we'll get started with Raw right after this.
Bring what you got. The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
Four corners, free, on mine. Let's go. The whole squad is making it clear, we taking this year. You know who we are, but you don't know why we here. So this is where the big boys play. These big boys play like who defies the living God. Get out the big boys' way. Outsiders with the swoop in, we live as kings. You see in us, but our third man waits in the wings. And when the time is right, we shock him with the proper attack. I go for Dolo, but ain't solo, cut the promo in black. Hollywood, Hendrix, Prizzle, pinning them to the mat.
And I'm Dash One Nickin, with the strength of 100 men, with one intent, to see the will fulfilled of the one who sent his son to give himself. But you rap about your gas and your rags torture, white coffins when I drop a bomb. My mic's awesome, never lost faith. You in all space, you can all skate, suffer but never crippled. No bin walls in my cross face. From here to Saturday, raving, anticipating. I was frostbit, now I am glacier, mixed with some Vader. Get to hawking with these animals, using
thank God for my defense in Alabama. We jamming, that's beautiful. Bobby Eaton, me and Priest, we the dangerous alliance. Nah, the Harlem Heat, tie the do-rag before we do battle. You're talking sheep, you all what you speak. This too sweet.
Till the genre is took back, we rapping that work pack. The foundation shaking, no mistaking. Yeah, we shook that. Trust in God, we trust. Pushing forward, never look back. Meekness ain't at all weakness. Some people mistook that. Stamping out this crook rap. He turning the power on the razor's edge. Leg drop after a power bomb. Tired of the lies, man. We bringing the truth through. Diligent and fruitful. The owners in our group too. It's good to be king. Sold out, this war is brutal.
We playing them war games. Our army go move too. You too. I'm in the Raptors with a bat in my hand and stand to shatter all your plans so they don't matter. In the grand scheme, it's that easy. We tag teaming. Steiner Brothers, we love it. Demand the win. Establish it. This the clash of the champions.
This is where the big boys play, huh? We ain't here to play.
Again, thank you for the Q&A. We had a trivia question last week to end the show that nobody's got yet. What team name did the Godwins have in WCW? Come on, wrestling extraordinaires. What's going on with that? What team name did the Godwins have in WCW? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was really fun, and we'll do that soon. Again, we have interviews the next 2 weeks on the show. We will announce the interview. Again, next week is Jesse Sorensen, former TNA X Division star Jesse Sorensen. And then the next week we'll announce here. We'll talk a little bit of Raw, and then we usually make announcements at the 12 o'clock hour and the 12 o'clock mark with the half an hour left in the show. So we will make our big announcement on who is the guest host of 2 weeks from now. I'm really excited about this interview. A lot of history to talk about from this guy. And, of course, man, thank you so much for D'Lo Brown last week. D'Lo Brown was the man. Awesome interview. So many it was covered in, you know, just about every big site. And, of course, it'll stream live on RioWrestling.net. And it was awesome. And I really thank D'Lo Brown. He was really excited about the interview. And he posted it on his on his Twitter and on his wrestling Facebook page, and I wrote a column. I wrote an article on Bleacher Report about it, and got over nearly 45,000 views and counting, and so it was awesome. So as we get to Raw, I am joined by the baddest co-host on the planet, Derek. How are you tonight?
That would be me. I'm the baddest co-host on the planet. I'm Derek. This is Pancakes and Power Phones. I got to say, we are wrestling. Chat room is just blowing up tonight. I mean, we're almost 200-some comments. And I mean, this is great. This is a night. We're live. We've got the world behind us. We've got the world in front of us. Chris Featherstone, we're here tonight. And I love the first segment. Everything's wonderful. Monday Night Raw last night was a bit of a snoozer. There's a couple highlights that, you know, we're going to touch on that, you know, just absolutely stole the show. But, fast forward, we're going to move forward. Pancakes and Power Slams, the new Tuesday Night Titans. Let me remind you. And again, we are wrestling. Props to it. I mean, this is amazing. We love this. We just love wrestling chat. We got all kinds of characters in here just blowing off steam. Some of them are just trying to be silly, but it's all welcome. It's all invited. This is wrestling. This is what we do. This is what we strive for. And this is Pancakes and Power Slams. We got another hour. Let's get to it. Monday Night Raw.
Yes, sir. The answer to the question is Tex Slazenger and Shanghai Pierce. Come on. I know that there are some 1990s pro wrestling fans that are on the WeAreWrestling.net chat room. We usually get a few people that are, you know, usually bats 1,000 or at least close to it every week. But that was the stump question right there, man. That was the stump question that nobody got. I think that's one of the first times I've ever done that on the WeAreWrestling.net chat room. Tex Slazenger and Shanghai Pierce. They were they had a short stint in WCW and didn't go too far at all. They had a little bit of a name behind them, but they were mostly jobbers. They were like popular jobbers. We had someone that said I had that answer last week. Okay, I'm gonna believe you. Tex Slazenger and Shanghai Pierce is the correct answer. Before we get to Raw, next question: who managed Giant Gonzalez? So as you think about that, let's get to Raw in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. And let's see here. Ventura called them the Texicans. Good job. All right, that's what I'm talking about. That's the type of scholarly insight that I like to hear. Like to see on the WeAreWrestling.net live stream. Yes, the Texicans, and they didn't go too far at all in WCW. But you know, the good part of that is that they managed to become the Godwins. As cheesy as their gimmick was, they were, you know, world tag team champions they in the WWE, so it worked. So yes, Harvey Whippleman, good job. Good job there. Montreal, Quebec, Canada. WWE Raw was hosted by the Quebecers, not the tag team, but the crowd. And we got Randy Orton in-ring promo interrupted by Roman Reigns. First of all, no authority John Cena involved in the opening segment. How about that? I mean, ever since, like I said, it bears repetition. When I interviewed Matt Taven, we talked about that as far as segment, every the beginning of Raw usually starts with John Cena, Seth Rollins in Triple H or the Authority or both, and every week, and so it usually never fails. But this week, no Seth Rollins, no Triple H, no John Cena. So how about that? That was a nice fresh, you know, part of Raw, fresh feel of Raw. And then my boys, you know, I'm a New Day guy. I'm a big New Day guy just because I'm, you know, Big E's one of my favorite wrestlers. They come on, and I've seen all types of articles, you know, throughout the pro wrestling airwaves about, you know, how New Day are really falling into their niche, and me and my boy Armand, who's been a guest panelist on here, also one of the co-composers of the other Pancakes and Power Slams theme song with the NWO hook to it. Him and I and some other colleagues were tweeting today, we were talking about he said that you're right, Chris, and I was like, right about what? And he showed a gif of of the New Day rising up, slowly rising up, Big E as the Bellas was walking to the ring, and just, I mean, and Big E was interviewed by Slam Wrestling before Raw, and he was just talking about how it's so organic now. Just the New Day gimmick is so organic, and you can tell. I mean, because here's the thing: Big E has always been a comedian. Read his tweets; he has one of the most comedic Twitter accounts. It's funny. I mean, his Twitter account's extremely funny, and just his mannerisms is funny. He was way over in NXT, you know, with the five count, and just finally NXT was the last time that Big E really had an opportunity to get out of a shell. For once, and since he's been there, you know, I think it's what, late 2011, I think Big E came to the main roster, or late 2011, late 2012, I don't remember exactly what it is. But yeah, finally he has an opportunity. I think it was like December, because I remember he came and started feuding and came in with and attacked John Cena while Cena was feuding with Ziggler. So that's when Cena won the Money in the Bank. I think that had to be 12, because 11 Del Rio won it. So yeah, 12. Cena won it. So it had to be 12 when Big E came up. So it's been, 2.5 years now since Big E's been on the main roster? And, you know, finally he has an opportunity to really come out of his shell and be funny. And when they were baby faces, it was not organic. It was forced. I was, you know, I held on because I knew that I kept telling people, give them time, give them an opportunity to just really kind of mold into something. You know, so many people aren't, just have such a quick, I call them microwave marks, because, you know, so many people just kind of go with the trends and just kind of for the blink of an eye just have some type of ridiculous out of space thought that's just so flighty and just interchangeable all the time. But I tell people, hold on, just stay with the course, and New Day will be something. And we see it. They're funny. The New Day rocks, you know, and in contrast to the New Day sucks. And I when I was talking to my colleagues earlier today, you know, I said, you know, for once the smart crowd and basically, you know, I was asked, you know, this, I guess, evolution of New Day into someone, into a gimmick that people actually enjoy and is organic, did it come from the after WrestleMania crowd in California, San Jose area, San Jose, San Francisco. And I said, for once, you know, the smarky crowd kind of turned something on its head inadvertently without really meaning it, you know, to turn it there, because the New Day sucks usually. And that was like X-Pac heat back in the day. Like, we really don't like you. We want you to go away. But WWE, you know, I got to give it to them. They had an opportunity. They seized it. It worked. They're over. They're tag team champions. They're one of the hottest, you know, acts on Raw right now. They put on fantastic matches. You know, there are so many legendary WWE superstars that said that the New Day versus Kidd and Cesaro was the best match of the night at Extreme Rules, and I agree. I believe a close second was Reigns versus Show. And so they're working. They're working. And you know, like I said before, strike while the iron's hot. I'm so glad they're champions, and they're one of the best things going at Raw right now.
One of the best things going at Raw, and he's really they're trying to have that thing that Sandow had, where you know, he's a lame duck, nobody really cares. He gets teamed with The Miz. Look what happened. I mean, a whole brand new character, new horizons. Hopefully, but for the time, I mean, that's. It was a phenomenal run. I loved it. Everybody loved it. And same thing with the New Day. I mean, everyone thought too sappy, too dumb. Then they end up turning heel, and it's been brilliant. And you have the talent there. I've said a million times how Kofi Kingston is just, he can perform with anybody. And finally, I mean, that's great. They're doing awesome. I love that they have the tag team belts now. So, I mean, I'm converted New Day fan, and it had a heel turn to do it. And
yeah.
they found their niche. Otherwise, they would have ended up being nothing if they wouldn't have had the heel turn. Same thing with Damian Sandow. He wouldn't have had anything unless he would have teamed with The Miz and done his run and all that good stuff. So, honestly, New Day, I'm totally behind. You've always been behind them. It took me a while
because
they just wasn't a great face tag team. And the talent was always there, just nothing else was. Until they turned heel. And they're snobby heels. I like the snotty accents or the actions that they're doing, and just said, I'm getting into it, and I'm happy with where they're at now. So, I mean, it's great. Good for the tag team division. I mean, we saw the Ascension last night, which I'm sick of them. I don't know why they're still around, but, you know.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. Man, New Day beat Reigns and Orton. So that was, huge. And they were celebrating throughout, random spots the entire night. I think that was excellent booking. I loved it. It was absolutely amazing, and it's a great way to push the New Day. Renee Young interviewing Ryback, in ring, come on, Montreal crowd. Goldberg still with Ryback. I mean, Ryback's been a baby face, ever since he came back, and people still chant "Feed Me More." It was working, and the Goldberg chants just really didn't make any sense. Kudos to Ryback for kind of turning them over real quick to the "Feed Me More" chants, and it was a heartfelt promo. We're always going to get the same monotone type of. He has a little bit of ups and downs, in his delivery, but it's the same, the big guy is going to break you, and the big guy's hungry, and the big guy is going to make sure he's going to eat the negativity. And it's going to be inside him. It's going to turn into positivity. And the big guy's going to get hungry. And, it's his gimmick, So I can't really expect anything else. So I'm not complaining about it. It's just that I think we need to see Ryback a little bit. If you're going to put him in the mic, I still think mysterious characters still work. If they don't have a lot of mic time, or if somebody else speaks for them. I think Ryback's one of those people. Don't put him on a mic, preferably at all, really, or just those quick, 15-second, promos in the back. But, don't put a mic on him for 30 seconds, because I remember when Kane got a mic. That was really the beginning of the end of Kane's, uber-mysterious gimmick. When he started cutting promos, first of all, when he had the voice box, the Undertaker, the voice box was ridiculous. And then when he gets rid of the voice box and starts cutting promos in a mask and with Hellfire and Brimstone, I'm like, oh, man, this is really the beginning of the end. And so there's some people who just really shouldn't grab mics, and I think Ryback's one of them. Ryback and Wyatt, it's a decent feud. I think it's a good feud for two, kind of upper mid-card talent with no type of title intact. It's a decent place to put both of them right now, and it's building up pretty decently.
It's building up, and Ryback is one of those. I wish that WWE would have more managers like they did back in the 80s and 90s, with Bobby Heenan and Jimmy Hart, just somebody, a mouthpiece for somebody like Ryback, perfect example. I mean, he doesn't need to talk. Nobody wants to hear him talk because he sucks at it. And he needs someone to talk for him, just like Paul E. talks for Brock Lesnar. And he sells it like, Brock Lesnar is in the WWE who he is because of Paul Heyman, the way that he can talk and do all that with him. So it's, and I want to put something on. I love the voice box thing on Kane. I thought it was genius when I was seeing it. And it was almost, I think at the time, they were big in the South Park, and they were ripping off Cousin Ned's friend. I think his name was Ned. He had a voice box. But anyway, I think that's what they were trying to get at. But, again, I wish they had managers like they did, just so Ryback would be a lot more over if he just didn't open his mouth and talk, or at least just say, "Feed me more." Once after someone like Slick was saying all these, what this guy can do, and he's going to break him in half, and then have him have the last word,
Absolutely. They tried it with Heyman. It didn't work. They tried a couple people with Heyman, it didn't work. So I don't know, you know, maybe a female, you know, babyface manager or something like that. Maybe they can bring somebody up that could work possibly, you know, maybe like a Sarah Del Rey. I know she's working with the WWE now and NXT, you know, maybe Del Rey as a manager or something. Something, you know, Sarah Del Rey and Cesaro would be a pretty good team. You know, they're dating. They've been dating for a while. I think they're still dating. So, yeah, bringing Del Rey up. Lana is a good suggestion there. Lana as a baby face. I think it'll be an interesting. I think that would be interesting, but I think that Lana is going to be the new Trish Stratus. I really think she is. You know, I was talking to Ryan, one of our Crave Wrestling team members, and I was talking to him about Lana, and I really think, you know, with this push that's been rumored, with this babyface push of her being the face of the Divas division, I actually think it'll work. I actually think that she has the look, she has the ability, she has the backing behind her to actually have a really, really good following. And, you know, of course, people are going to say she has no wrestling background. But, okay, so with that logic, let me present something. One of the best, arguably the best diva ever in the WWE is, matter of fact, I haven't even talked to Derek about this yet. Arguably one of the best divas, arguably the best diva in the WWE history is who, Derek?
The best diva? Fabulous Moolah, Trish Stratus.
Other than Moolah. Other than Moolah. Now, of course, Moolah is going to be a legendary. Who was the other person you said?
Wendy Richter.
No, you said somebody after Moolah. Who'd you say?
Trish Stratus,
okay. So, and that's, you said what again?
I said Trish the Dish. That's what I used to call her.
Trish the Dish.
She was hot. She was, you know, she could move. She could move in the ring. She was a female wrestler, period.
Yeah.
And a diva.
Yeah, but exactly. And here's the thing. Absolutely zero wrestling experience before she came to the WWE. She wasn't an indie girl. She wasn't like, yeah, I love wrestling, and so I'm going to, you know, come in and achieve my dream. No. she was modeling. She was a fitness model, and she was, you know, many people thought she was hot. And so WWE brought her in. She managed, you know, Testin Albert. And then all of a sudden, she learned some wrestling, and she's in the Hall of Fame right now. And that came from no wrestling experience. So you can't, you know, and the trainers now are just as good as they were back then. You know, you have Arn Anderson that's around. You know, Brian Kendrick is doing some training now. So there's some really good, you know, fit as far as I'm concerned, I think Fit Finley's still around training. And so, you know, you have some really, really good trainers that I think Finley was training at the, you know, back then as well. And so you have some good trainers that will teach Lana, will work with Lana for hours, and she can be as good as Trish. I mean, if she has the heart and she has the determination to be a good wrestler, she can be as good as Trish. So you can't come to me and present with me an argument of, you know, she's never had any wrestling experience. Trish didn't either, and she's in the Hall of Fame. And she's deservedly in the Hall of Fame because she ended up being a fantastic wrestler. And so I think Lana has the ability to be the future of the WWE in the Divas division and kind of bring that next era of someone as being a face of the Divas division for, you know, a decade like Trish was.
I believe Lana can do that. I mean, she hasn't shown her in-ring ability yet, but it's just the way she carries herself. And something's going to happen eventually because, I mean, to be honest, you had Fandango made her dance. So there's which was awesome. Great for you, Fandango. But she's going to break away. She's going to become a diva. Hopefully not diva, but maybe a more lucrative, more, you know, she can wrestle. She can prove herself in a ring and just, you know, take the Divas division by storm. It's yours to take, Lana. There's no one else there that can really do that because they want to get too prissy and be happy for ETV. Don't be one of those. Go in and just destroy the competition. Be awesome. You can do it. I'm totally behind her. I hope she doesn't prove me wrong or disappoint me, but we'll see. Divas division, WWE, big question mark.
Yeah, exactly. But I think Lana will surprise some people. I really do. I really do think so. I think she'll surprise some people. Kid Cesaro defeating the Ascension. Ken Cesaro was way over, you know, of course, Cesaro being a Canadian, so he was way over. And Kid, you know, Kid being a Canadian, he was way over. Cesaro just, you know, he did it to Kofi Kingston, but he did it to, Connor? The running European uppercuts, you know, as one of his signature moves now, is absolutely amazing. Oh, my goodness. It's just ridiculous how much just raw talent Cesaro has. And, oh, man, he would just, unless he's a main event star, he will just continue. I mean, I like the fact with him and Kid's a good team, but, man, he has so much just natural raw talent. It's absolutely ridiculous. And those running European uppercuts that he does, I would not want to be on the receiving end of one of those things, or like 10, which he does. Kenneth Cesaro was one of the hottest commodities on Raw yesterday, without question.
Yeah, I mean, they have been a great commodity for a while, and that's what's great about the tag team division at this moment. This week, I should say, is the tag team division's awesome. Essentially, about Cesaro, you haven't seen, when was the last time you've seen him do his Cesaro spin?
He did it yesterday. They have a finishing move where he does a swing and Kid does
I feel stupid because I didn't get to watch Raw last night, unfortunately. I had to read Chris Featherstone's comments and personal things on it. But anyway... I mean, that's great. And Cesaro, he's always been a Raw talent. He used to be a Paul Heyman guy. He's not anymore. But with him and Tyson Kidd, that's just absolute Raw talent. Why are they fighting these bums called the Ascension? I have no idea. And at Ascension, I don't even know why they still have a spot and why they're even allowed in the building. And it's just what they've sunk to and become. But I'm happy for it. Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. Tag team division now is great. But again, that's this week. This month, next week, we'll talk about it again and see how it's going.
Yeah. Victor, I think, I might have said Connor, but yeah, it's Victor, the smaller one. The cruiserweight, basically. That guy's booked to be like a big guy, but he's like 220 pounds. So it's like, you know, he's a cruiserweight, and he's, you know, Victor's the big guy. He's like 265. But Connor, no, not so much. He's Victor, not so much. He's a pretty small guy. The Ascension was way better with Bram. At least, you know, Bram's a big guy too. When Bram was in the Ascension, it was a much better team than, you know, when, you know, the new version of the Ascension is just no good for anyone. Ambrose defeats Seth Rollins, becomes in the main event of Payback. I think this is a great idea. I think this is a good way of making Ambrose relevant. He's not going to win. There's a 0% chance that he's going to win the world championship, but I still think it makes him relevant. He's in the main event of Payback. I think the four-way, we kind of get a Shield reunion. I've heard a lot of people say throughout yesterday and today that they didn't like the idea because they don't like a Shield reunion this quick. Because a lot of people say that, you know, the Shield should have won against each other at WrestleMania 32. you know, and just different thoughts like that. I'm okay with it. You know, we can always revisit it, you know, almost a year later, you know, 11 months, you know, 10 and a half, 11 months later. I mean, right now would be a good time to just kind of dabble with it and see if, you know, a Shield match at WrestleMania 32 would actually, you know, make the box office and be a big draw. We have to understand, WrestleMania is for casual fans, and I say this all the time, WrestleMania is for casual fans. You have to have a huge draw, a huge booking match draw to bring people from the outside in. Us diehard wrestling fans, we're going to watch WrestleMania regardless. We don't care if it's Yoshitatsu against Jamie Noble. You know, we're going to watch WrestleMania. But we have to, you know, we have to understand, we have to look at it from a marketing and business perspective. WrestleMania is from the outside in, not from the inside out. That's why Rock's been the feature of WrestleMania the past few years. That's why Brock Lesnar has been the feature of WrestleMania the past, you know, couple of years, because they are outside stars that are drawing people from the outside in. And so we, you know, there's nobody in the Shield that are outside in, you know, that will draw people from the outside in. So that's why probably, unfortunately for me, because I really don't see, I don't want to see Rock versus Brock, but that's probably why Rock versus Brock will be in the main event of next year, because, again, you're drawing people from the outside in for WrestleMania. That's the reason why they get the big paydays, they get the big, you know, everybody, you know, the big, you know, numbers and the ratings and so forth. So we have to think about that. So I don't see a Shield main event next year. I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I really don't see a Shield main event next year. So doing it now would be good. And plus, to be honest with you, Dean Ambrose is the one that's going to take the pin. They want to protect Reigns. They want to protect Orton. So Ambrose is the one that's going to get pinned because, you know, they're not really big on protecting him right now. They're way big on protecting Reigns, and of course, you know, they don't want to give Orton two straight losses. So they put Ambrose in there for him to take the fall. It makes sense. At least he gets a main event spot.
He gets a main event spot, and I understand that. And you know, Rollins, Reigns, and the thing with the Shield coming back together, it's like almost an afterthought for me. I don't really think that too much anymore. I mean, it's been a way we see each other for 10, 11 months now. It's just going to be three individuals going together and kicking butt and taking names. It's not too much of a thing anymore. They've gone really the route that they're going to go, and you got Reigns. It's kind of a hard – I'm excited to see it. I really want to see this match at the pay-per-view. And the three of them together, it's going to add a lot of drama and controversy to it. I hope this pay-per-view pans out to what it should be, but I only really see Rollins and Reigns, again, coming out as something better. Ambrose maybe on the side burner, but they're not done with Ambrose yet as far as, yeah, booking him and seeing what he can do in the long run. But Rollins and Reigns, it's going to pretty much be in between those two. And with Randy Orton, exactly. So.
Yep. Indeed, indeed. Next question is, who was the first female in the WWE Hall of Fame? Who was the first female in the WWE Hall of Fame? I think someone's already answering this. I think that we're going to get it already. And, yep, absolutely. Moolah was the first. Who inducted Moolah? How about that? That's a part B to it. Who inducted Moolah in the Hall of Fame? Next, we get Rusev defeating Fandango. This didn't really do much, but the funniest part of this is when Lana was Fandangoing. I think that was absolutely hilarious, and that was a good way to make this match relevant. And other than that, it just, you know, wasn't very relevant. Just to make Rusev important still. Yeah, nothing too much from this except for Lana Fandango going.
Yeah, that was great. So let's give it to Fandango. He still has what it takes to bring excitement to a crowd. I'm so just what he said. But and this is part of Lana's way to disassociate herself with Rusev. So, better way for Fandango to swivel his hips, make her do it. I mean, obviously Fandango had to take a dive. But honestly, ladies and gentlemen, Fandango, he knew single-handedly that his Spanish gimmick wasn't working, so he went back to what worked. And let's give him a kudos of that. And if Lana's going to get a part of that, if Lana's going to be the diva that we think she's going to be, not just be a diva, be a female wrestler that really knows her stuff, good for him. Let's at least give him that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's my Fandango love?
There's not gonna come much from this at all. From Fandango, and at least, you know, at least he's doing something, but I really don't see that. Not the correct answer yet on who inducted Moolah in the Hall of Fame. How about that? No correct answer yet. We got some answers, but they are not correct. All right, next we have Stardust defeating R-Truth. R-Truth's afraid of spiders. You know, that's not much out of that. John Cena open challenge interrupted by Bret Hart, which I was expecting to come out. And it just hurts me to see Bret Hart. It really does. I'm so sorry. It hurts me to see just the frailness of Bret Hart these days. And I'm like, oh, poor Bret. Like, oh, it's just so sad. And then I know that he was going to, I know why he came out. I was waiting for Sami Zayn to get introduced. At least, you know, Sami Zayn gets a Bret Hart rub. I mean, so it makes a little bit of sense, but yeah, I really could have, you know, took or left Bret Hart, you know, to be honest with you. I guess it makes sense because he was in Canada, although, you know, he's not from Montreal, he's from Calgary, but I guess I don't know. I mean, I guess Canada is such a, you know, compared to America, you know, Canada is pretty far away, you know, as far as the distance from one end to the other. You know, it's pretty far, but they act like they're just in one little town of Canada. But Canada and miles from as far as width and depth is pretty far, from a distance is concerned, as long as the United States is. That's like someone from Washington, you know, someone from Maine cheering someone from Washington. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. But, you know, Canada's one big collective awesome unit. So there you go. He introduced Sami Zayn, and of course Sami Zayn is from Montreal. He is a hometown boy. I liked it. It was good. The match between him and Cena, you know, almost blew the roof off. It was really good. Unfortunately, he, you know, it was a freak accident. He was just amping up the crowd. He was throwing his arms up, and he messed up his arm. And so he's reported to get some MRIs, and he got his arm, you know, bandaged with that. So it's very sad that happened. But, I was glad to see Sami Zayn. He definitely, for his Raw debut, you know, he made a statement. It was a really good match against Cena, and he had the hometown behind him. It was awesome. And before Derek goes, yes, Alundra Blaze did induct Moolah. Good job. Sami Zayn.
Zayn. Sami Zayn, he tore up the night last night. That was Monday Night Raw with his debut, as far as I'm concerned. And John Cena did an awesome job in selling everything, just making the match awesome. Cool job. I mean, what else can you say about that? I mean, the guy has absolute pure talent. Same thing with Neville. He's NXT. Wow. I mean, you just can't tourniquet all the WWE because NXT is going to take it over. I mean, it's absolutely fabulous. I mean, these guys are just dominating. And you can watch NXT on a certain network, which I don't want to say because I'm not going to pay for it. But,
right.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, this is what I'd like to see in wrestling. I mean, they just make the crowd absolutely get into it. So much talent. And, I mean, and a guy like John Cena to just to let Sami Zayn just go nuts on him. And like, this is what we're going to do. This is the landscape. And Cena, he's a guy that can let him do that. Still beat him. But, however, just let me showcase my talents, and I'll take it from here. And that's exactly what happened last night. Same thing with Neville. I mean, I almost think this might be a new chapter in WWE, but unless the NXT just invade it, and, you know, it could be the next generation. I mean, we have the PG era that we're in right now with the John Cena, next generation's NXT, high flying. I mean, we're just going to absolutely knock your socks off.
Yeah. Man, I remember when they plugged the early 90s as, like, the next generation. That's when you had the one of my favorite one of the funniest commercials I've ever remember in my childhood, teenage years was when Bret Hart was just the man in, you know, 92, 93, 94. And I think you probably remember this commercial too. When he's walking like in a tunnel, and he's about to go out to the, you know, away from the backstage, and you had a little kid was like, "Brad!" Oh man, that was just the funniest thing. And me and a few of my friends were watching. I think it was WrestleMania we were watching all together, and. Man, we just, I think I brought that commercial back up. I don't remember who did. I think I did. I may be wrong, but I think I brought that back up. And just, you know, most of us remembered that commercial because we were like teenagers when it came on. And it was just, that commercial was just absolutely hilarious to me. Like in hindsight, and I posted it on Facebook, just that commercial is just absolutely funny. And yes, thank you so much. Thank you, RearWrestling.net live stream. You guys are absolutely amazing. Thank you for understanding my moment here. Go get them, champ. Yeah, that's the saying after the Brett, and we had someone just said Brett on the comment board too. As a matter of fact, I want to post that on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. I'm going to post that commercial on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. So everybody who's listening through We Are Wrestling, through Blog Talk Radio, through other media outlets, through iTunes subscription, go to the Crave Wrestling Facebook page and just relive a moment of history of probably one of the most popular commercials that you would ever experience in your life, and now in hindsight, 20 years later, it's just absolutely hilariously funny. But yeah, Zayn, you know, Neville has been, he's had an opportunity. I don't know, man. You know, I was talking to a buddy today, and I was just saying that, you know, I think that WWE might have pulled the plug on Neville, man. I think I even tweeted it yesterday, that I think that he's the new, I hope that Neville doesn't turn into Evan Bourne quickly. And, man, we might be seeing it quicker than expected. I mean, he's kind of on a losing streak. Yeah, he won the King of the Ring matches, but, you know, he's lost probably two or three in a row. You know, as far as Raw is concerned and King of the Ring. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I hope we don't see just him being like a glorified, you know, spot monkey who's really, really good in the ring and, you know, have the Evan Bourne complex. You know, no disrespect to Matt Sydal. I think Matt Sydal is an amazing wrestler. You know, watch his work in ROH. He's fantastic. But just they didn't push him. You know, he had a little bit of a push in ECW for a while. It seemed like he was about to be ECW champion for a second. He was tag team champion. He beat Chris Jericho, but, you know, as much as I'm a Jericho mark, you know, who didn't? You know, it's gotten to the point of who didn't beat Chris Jericho. But, yeah, Neville just might be there sooner than later. It's unfortunate because Neville's an amazing person in the ring. Then we get the Bellas walking to the ring, attacked by Naomi and Tamina. They were, you know, Tamina came back and she was working with Naomi in house shows, so I figured they were going to put this on television. Naomi, you know, it's just an extra layer, you know, and her heel character. I think they're trying. I'm not a big fan of it at all, but they're trying.
Hey, they're trying something. I don't know. I mean, they've been trying every week for the past 3-4 years, and I'm really seeing a whole lot from them. Still get excited about Lana coming in. He had Snuka's daughter come in last night. And I guess that brought some excitement to it from what I understand, from what I've been told. But the same thing, there really wasn't much point to this other than just bringing Snuka's daughter back. And where's it going to go from here?
Yeah, absolutely. Next trivia question. How many championships have Heath Slater won in the WWE? How many championships have Heath Slater won in the WWE? Next, we have Sheamus and Bad News Bear defeating Dolph Ziggler and Neville. It's pushing Bad News Barrett, you know, as the King of the Ring. We talked a little bit about that last week. I'm cool with Barrett, you know, becoming King of the Ring. I think that this is the rub that he needed. I think he needed the rub more than anybody. The King of the Ring is, you know, there's no payoff to it. You don't get anything but, you know, what, a scepter and a robe. So, you know, it's nothing big to it. And so if anybody needed that type of rub at all, it was Barrett. And him winning yesterday just made sense since he just won the King of the Ring.
Yeah, it made sense. I mean, he's British. Give him the King of the Ring. They just had the Royal Bailey a couple days ago. I mean, it's all awesome circumstances. However, it's, you know, Wade Barrett and Sheamus together wasn't too bad. They're both Europeans against Zig and Neville. Yeah, Ziggler, he's always going to be a guy that can just really shine and perform and make the most of every match, but they're just going to give him the credit he deserves. And you could almost say the almost same thing about the Sheamus and Barrett. The Sheamus in his day, he's always been a solid mid-carder, but they never wanted to give him that final rub. Neville's the up-and-comer. Still, he was overshadowed, and give him his time and his dues. The match was okay. I mean, it wasn't horrible, but, you know, if the Seth were in the robe, I could do a lot of that. So that'd be a lot of fun, actually, if you want to be truthful.
Yep. Good job, chat room. Slater, yes, 3 title reigns, 3-time tag team champ. A bit late on our announcement, we will talk a little bit about Orton and Reigns, and then we'll do the announcement, and then we'll talk a little bit about whether we believe that King of the Ring should be a pay-per-view instead of just a one-off special for 1 hour on the WWE Network. Should it become a pay-per-view again? So we're going to talk a little bit about that and get comments from that and see how the listeners feel as well. So real quick about Orton and Reigns, it made sense as far as the main event is concerned. Animosity between the two. Authority attacks both during the match, and Ambrose makes a save. Reigns gets RKO'd, and Orton gets dirty deeds, and Ambrose is the one that's celebrating. It made sense, you know, Ambrose being the guy on the top, you know, who gets the final laugh after he, you know, got inserted in the match by beating Rollins. Again, at the end of the day, it's just going to be Ambrose taking the pin, and so making him stronger to make probably, you know, most likely Rollins is going to be the one that pins him. So make him strong now makes sense. So he puts Rollins over. So, you know, I wouldn't oppose to the end of the overall.
Yeah, it was the end of Raw, so you had to go with it. You know, RK versus Reigns. Typical end of the match. You had, you know, J&J security outside. You had Seth Rollins on commentary. Now, I like the ending. It was kind of funny. You had Orton, RKO, Reigns, and then Ambrose, Dirty Deeds on Orton. He got to stand, but it's not really probably going to be the outcome of the pay-per-view, which is what really counts if you want to be accurate on that. So Dean Ambrose, good job Monday Night Raw last night, but doggone, I wish it could carry over into the pay-per-views.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, announcement for the interview happening on the 19th. Pancakes and Power Slams is pleased to announce that the newest member of the Pancakes and Power Slams interview series is going to be Ernest the Cat Miller, better known as Mr. Hughes, will be on the show on the 19th, a week from Tuesday. So I'm so excited to interview Mr. Hughes. And there's going to be so much history from him bodyguarding Chris Jericho and Triple H, and how he feels that China kind of took his spot with bodyguarding Triple H, and just, you know, all of his ECW run, his WCW run, and so much to talk about when we talk to, you know, when I interview Mr. Hughes, and it's going to be really, really fun. So I'm really excited about interviewing Mr. Hughes, Ernest the Cat Hughes. It's going to be really, really, really fun. So really, really excited about that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, flavor of the week coming right up. It is now time for the flavor of the week. So we saw the King of the Ring, Curtis Hughes. Did I say Ernest Hughes? Or what in the world am I talking about? Yes, Curtis Hughes. Curtis, the cat Curtis Hughes, better known as Mr. Hughes. I'm really, really excited about Curtis Hughes coming on the show with all of his experience and all of, you know, almost 30 years in the wrestling business, and the big cat. So it's going to be really, really fun. I'm really excited about this. I love doing interviews of people just with so much history, so much background. That's why I love talking to Del Wilkes, and talking to Curtis Hughes is going to be amazing as well. Someone who's been in the business for almost 30 years. And so he's been, you know, he's wrestled for ECW, WCW, WWE, AWA. So it's going to be really fun. So, Derek, should King of the Ring be a pay-per-view?
Yes, it should be. I still believe it should be. I loved it back in the day, and it was one of those extra pay-per-views. Like, I almost think it I know it predates In Your House, and it was like, you know, you had WrestleMania, and they had it in Survivor Series, and they had it in Royal Rumble, then SummerSlam, and then they had it in King of the Ring. And there was a couple years before they had In Your House and all that stuff before it became a monthly pay-per-view. But I did enjoy King of the Ring. I think it should be still a pay-per-view. I mean, just the name of King of the Ring, it sounds great. Rolls off your tongue. I love the bracket system they had with it. I mean, all the stars. As long as you keep it to where if they win King of the Ring, if they have a promising feud and stuff going ahead, on the Under the Giant Battle Royal. And if you had that back in the day, you really did. And so, I love the pay-per-view concept. I think it still should be pay-per-view. It got watered down in a week in the last few years that it was a pay-per-view, but at least back in the 90s, man, it was something to watch. I got excited for it. So they can bring the old concept back. I'm totally behind it. If not, do whatever you want with it.
I agree. I we're seeing these throwaway pay-per-views, man. To be honest with you, Payback, even Extreme Rules to an extent, was it really, is it really important? Does it really mean anything, you know, as far as a meaningful pay-per-view to actually lead to something? You know, I just don't see it. I understand the Elimination Chamber, you know, just because of the cost, you know, and they're cutting the cost and just the venues and everything. I get it. But, you know, Fastlane and, you know, if you're going to just change, if you're going to take away Elimination Chamber, why don't you just get, why don't you just bring back No Mercy? You know, why don't you just bring back No Way Out? You know what I mean? Like the legendary, you know, February pay-per-views. And why don't you just bring back, you know, Judgment Day, you know, in May instead of Extreme Rules and instead of Payback, you know, just they can get rid of Payback, they can get rid of, you know, these throwaway pay-per-views that, you know, really don't mean anything. And it just, King of the Ring in June would just make so much sense because, you know, just the typical summer pay-per-view they had with King of the Ring, and they should bring a stipulation behind it. You know, they should just have more than just eight people that really, you know, maybe two or three of them actually was doing something, actually was more than just a mid-carder, and just really spend some time with it and have a stipulation similar to when Brock Lesnar won and he got to go against The Rock in 2002. He ended up winning the World Heavyweight Championship at SummerSlam that year after winning the King of the Ring. So, you know, have a stipulation behind it. Makes sense more than it just meaning nothing, you know. And when William Regal won it, it didn't mean anything. You know, when Sheamus won it, it didn't mean anything. When Barrett's winning it, it didn't mean much. I mean, at least when Booker won it, you know, it started probably one of his best gimmicks ever, King Booker, and he won the World Heavyweight Championship, you know, and so make it mean something. Make it a pay-per-view. Make it have a stipulation of going against the world champion, you know, the next night on Raw. You know, that can be even something that would make sense about it, but do much more than what they just did. They just threw it on us, you know, at the pay-per-view, at Extreme Rules, that King of the Ring's coming back, and then they had, you know, a set of matches on Raw, and the rest of it on an hour, you know, special on a Tuesday on the network. So they just kind of rushed it on us, and it's kind of a disgrace to the lineage of the pay-per-views that they had, so... Hopefully they kind of reconsider that concept and bring it back. It was almost 5 years. You know, Sheamus won in 2010, so, you know, waiting that long probably isn't the best idea either. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much again. Episode 162 in the books. And next week we got Jesse Sorensen, former X Division, TNA X Division star, and then the week after that, we got Curtis Hughes, Mr. Hughes. So the next 2 weeks is going to be full of awesome stories, amazing interviews. Stay tuned, and go over to the Crave Wrestling Facebook page so you can see that Bret Hart commercial. heading over there now. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, again, wearewrestling.net chat room is one of the best places to be on Tuesday nights, because they support Pancakes and Power Sam so much. Continue to support WeAreWrestling.net, BleacherReport.com, PWMania.com. Follow us at Crave Wrestling and like the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. Until next week, Day Loves Elijah and Ian. Have a good week and God bless. Goodbye.